This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad that you've tuned us in. Now, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you would like to contact me, you can email me from the email address given on the website, and you can re-listen to this program on the website. You can also read a weekly meditation that I post there, and there's other information that you might find helpful. So if you would like to contact me, or if you would like to go to the website, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write the addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to do a journey through the book of Jonah. And it's an interesting book to me in that Jonah is considered by the Lord to be a great prophet. We'll see that in a little bit. And yet he was a very reluctant and really a disobedient prophet. He was one who didn't want to do what the Lord asked him to do. But the Lord didn't leave him alone, and he had to do what the Lord asked him to do. And there was a great city saved because of what the Lord asked him to do. And I've often wondered what kind of a prophet Jonah could have been if he had been an obedient prophet rather than a disobedient prophet. Now, I know that you're listening to this during the middle of this lockdown that we have for the coronavirus. I don't know if you're locked down there in the Creston area like we are up here in the Black Hawk County area. But we've had one meatpacking plant that, for one reason or another, has had an outbreak of the coronavirus. Appears that they were not following the guidelines of the local health officials and of our governor. But whether they were or whether they weren't, they have affected an awfully lot of people. And at first I thought they were going to affect my walks around a little place we call Myers Lake, which I liked, where I like to go for a walk, but it appears that if I go by myself, I can still do that. But I just have noted, as we think about this virus, how everybody has their own opinion as to what's right and as to what's wrong, and they aren't considering the fact that their actions affect other people. And so we do affect others. Jonah affected others. The Lord affected others. And we need to remember that as we try to balance our lives, which have become very limited in some ways, as we try to balance our lives and our livelihood with the lives and the livelihoods of others. We need to have compassion on those who are elderly, and that includes me. We need to have some sense of balance in the decisions that we make. But most of all, we need to remember that when we are told that we are rebelling against God, and when we are told that God is merciful and gracious, we need to remember that God will meet our need. He will meet us where we are. He will save us. And individually, we need to be saved. And right now, as a nation and maybe as a world, we need to be saved. I'm going to read the very last part of this book of Jonah to kind of emphasize my point, because after Jonah had preached in Nineveh, and after Nineveh had repented and had been saved, we read in chapter 4, verse 1, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled to Tarshish,'" I think that's in Spain, "'for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm.'" So Jonah became angry, and he knew that he had a God who was slow to anger. And friend, I want you to know that God today. If you aren't prepared for the possibility of this coronavirus taking your life, if you aren't prepared for being sick, if you aren't prepared for family and friends that might be affected by this coronavirus, the only way you can properly prepare is to use some sense with regard to the CDC guidelines, and then to make sure that spiritually you're ready to meet God. And the only way you're going to be ready to meet God is if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. The Lord says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that's what these programs are all about. And we want to emphasize that we love you as listeners. And we know that many of you are probably true believers. But we believe that there are many of you that have listened to these programs who likely are religious and have a sense of reverence for the things that we talk about, but you may never have come to that point where you have said, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and where you have trusted in the truth that Christ did indeed die for sinners, that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, as we look at the book of Jonah, there's 4 points that I want to make. And first, as a rebellious prophet, he saves some sailors. And I'm going to read from from the first chapter. He was told, well, actually, I'm just going to paraphrase the first chapter. He was told to go to Nineveh, and he disobeyed. He did not want to go to Nineveh. Now, the reason I suspect that he did not want to go to Nineveh is Jonah was a prophet, and he likely knew that the judgment against the nation was going to come out of this city. It was the capital of Assyria. And it was true that the northern 10 tribes went into captivity to Assyria while Nineveh was their capital. Nineveh had a reputation for being cruel. In war, they did things that I don't even want to describe here. And he did not want to see Nineveh saved. Now, it's interesting that sometimes when we preach the gospel, we're forced to preach to people we don't like. And we shouldn't say that, but that is the case. They just don't appeal to us. But, you know, I've found out that if I reach out to people that I think I don't like, it isn't long and I like them. And the Lord loves us all. And we just have to emphasize that. The Lord is disgusted with our sin and our immorality, even in this country. And I would say he's likely disgusted with our sin and our immorality and our disobedience as it's found in what's called the Christian church today. But the Lord loves each person. And so let's take this personally. Jonah was stubborn. He did not want to go to Nineveh. So he paid the price to go down into a ship. And when we disobey God, we always pay a price, and we always go down. And Jonah ended up in a ship where there was a great storm, and in order to be saved from that storm, the sailors threw Jonah overboard. And as a result of that incident, those sailors became worshipers of Jehovah. And through Jonah's disobedience, but through his honesty, there were people who were saved. Now, if Jonah had been obedient, I wonder how much more could have been done. But the Lord knows how to use a disobedient prophet just like he can use an obedient one. And then we find out that his time in the fish's belly was prophetic. So we read from Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. If we come to the New Testament, and I'm just going to read it from Matthew 12, I could read it from other passages. It says, Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here, and the greater than Jonah was the Lord Jesus. So while Jonah was a very disobedient prophet, yet because he was thrown into the belly of that great fish, we find out that he became a prophetic picture of what would happen when the Lord was crucified and was buried and was raised again the third day. He's the sign of the resurrected Christ. And so he was used in that way as well when he was swallowed by that fish. And I know that there are some of you that are probably going to say, well, that's a story that's an allegory, it's a myth, it didn't really happen. I'll tell you, I think it really happened. And I'm like some people who said, if the Lord says that the great fish swallowed Jonah, I believe it. But if it had also said that Jonah swallowed the great fish, I would believe that too, because it would be the word of God. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe that there are allegories in the Bible. I believe that there are parables that the Lord told where the substance of the story is explaining something that is perhaps hard for us to grasp. So there are parables. There are allegories. There are symbolic There is symbolic truth in the Bible, but I don't believe that this, while this was symbolic truth pointing forward to the resurrection of Christ, it was also, in my mind, a literal truth. But what I like about the story of Jonah is that Jonah was given a second chance. And sometimes we rebel against the Lord. We rebel against the gospel. We rebel against service for the Lord. After we're saved, we rebel. But the Lord doesn't leave us alone. And so we read in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you.'" And so he was given a second chance. He wasn't any happier, I don't think, about the second chance, but he did what the Lord asked him to do. And when he got to Nineveh, he preached a very simple message. Nineveh, as I understand it, from this story, it took about 3 days to walk through it. And he became a street preacher, and he preached, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Just repeated that over and over again. Now, sometimes when we preach the gospel, we think we have to use a lot of new material. We have to, in many cases, use slides and stories and drama and all of that. But, you know, you can't get around the fact that something that's repeated and that something that's pointed is remembered. And that's the way Jonah preached. And it's been a lesson to me, because many times I want to preach a message that I know I've preached before, and I think, no, they've heard this all before. I can't preach that message again. Well, Jonah didn't worry about that. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Just 8 words. And those 8 words were so effective that, starting with the common people, up through the rulers of Nineveh, they repented in sackcloth and ashes. And when they did, the Lord withheld the judgment. And so that's where we come to this phrase, or this part that I've read before, that it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord God, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." And we see that graciousness and loving kindness when we look at the cross of Calvary. When we think of the sacrifice of the Son of God in order that we might be saved, we see that loving kindness. And friend, the Lord is extending that to the world today. And if you've received it, thank God for it and preach it. Yet 40 days and Nineveh. Maybe it's yet 40 days and our neighbors will be overthrown. We need to preach it simply and powerfully. And if we haven't believed it, we need to find that God is merciful and loving and kind to us. And he wants to show us mercy through the death of his Son. We just believe at this time in the United States, we need to trust in the Lord so that we can be prepared for whatever this pandemic brings us. And we can be prepared for whatever happens if the pandemic is cured. Just bring people to yourself, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'll bring people to yourself at this time. Make them think about their eternal welfare. We thank thee for your Son. We give thanks in his name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.